All right, so about a month or two ago, I went to a wedding. I was a groomsman at a wedding, and we finished the wedding. We all went up. We were going to celebrate, and so we went to kind of the side room while everyone was clearing out of the, the church, and we were going into the reception area. And so when I got in there with our wedding party, there was a bucket of champagne and a 24-pack of 5-Hour Energies. I was thinking to myself, what kind of wedding am I about to go to tonight? So when I thought about that, I also thought about all the high schools I've been to, athletic training rooms, where I see energy drinks, sodas, coffee, what have you. And so I figured I'd do a talk on caffeine and nutrition performance, or sports performance. Something there's a lot of misconceptions about, and so I figured this would be something good to clarify and explain. So as I started to read the information, I started to realize that normally when you pick a supplement, you find there's probably one or two review articles on it, and you can start to go into, dig a little bit deeper and find the individual studies. And that wasn't the case with caffeine. All of a sudden, it was 20 review articles. And it wasn't just review articles, review articles on other review articles and on subsections of caffeine. And so I started to realize I can't get near the depth I need to for this. And so how I'm going to go about doing this is we're going to do a talk. We're going to touch on a lot of different areas of caffeine. But for those of you who know me, I love social media. So what I'm going to do is while we're doing this presentation, I have a Twitter account. It's up there at the top, at bsinger10. And I'm going to be tweeting out, or Paul is going to be assisting me, tweeting out all sorts of different articles, full text articles, abstracts, as well as websites, other materials, slides, etc. So if you find a particular topic interesting, so whether it's caffeine and weightlifting, or caffeine and sports performance, there's articles on there. And you can actually go back and review them if you want to go further in depth. If you're not on Twitter at all, that's fine. You can actually Google me right now. You can Google at bsinger10, and you can follow along still, even if you don't have a Twitter account. And you can pick and choose the articles that you're interested in. If you're on Twitter, I would love for you to follow myself, our HBU account, and Paula. She's our other dietitian that Dan did not reference. Paula's leaving us soon, but she's still with us right now. And so follow along, I would greatly appreciate it, and hopefully you find that interesting. All right, so we're gonna talk about a number of things: sources of caffeine, mechanisms of action, dosing, sports, side effects, etc. So caffeine's been around for a long, long time. It's been used for a wide variety of reasons. Obviously, we wanna try and stay awake, but also health, sports performance, etc. Early in the 1900s, we would see coaches actually mix caffeine with cocaine, heroin, and other mixtures for sports performance. Okay, caffeine stuck around, the others did not. And that actually went into these forms, right? So we obviously had tea and caffeine or coffee all along, but it's developed into sodas, which were actually originally, Pepsi was actually originally promoted as a performance supplement for race car drivers. Okay, so it's been around for a while. Then it developed into energy drinks, energy shots. Then we had pre-workout supplements. We now have sports drinks, which have caffeine in them. We have sports gels. We have shot blocks that also have caffeine in them. We also have things such as caffeine powder, which has been in the news in the last few years. Even things like Excedrin or other aspirin will have some caffeine in there as well. We also have, and for the military, we've been using it, we have caffeinated gum. So we have all sorts of different sources of caffeine. Okay, so what happens? When you consume caffeine, it goes to the GI tract very, very rapidly, and we see traces of caffeine in the blood within 10 to 20 minutes. We see it peak in the blood usually about 60 minutes. So typically the recommendation would be have it about 1 hour before. Now, caffeine stays in the blood for a while. So if you consume it, you actually get performance benefits from it for a while. So because it stays in there for about 3 to 5 hours before it finally starts to decrease. So the half-life is 3 to 5 hours or so. Okay, so it also has the effect that it crosses over the blood-brain barrier, so meaning it can affect the central nervous system. So how does it actually affect the body? So originally, and this is something we still hear to this day from all sorts of different people, the original studies showed that when people consumed caffeine, that there was an increase in fat oxidation, meaning that people would burn more fat during their sports and they would utilize less carbohydrates. Okay, now remember that we have a finite amount of carbohydrates stored up in our body. And so the lower that storage of carbohydrates gets, the more fatigued we feel. So if we can spare those carbohydrates, then that means we can go longer before we feel fatigued. So the idea was we'll take in caffeine, we'll spare muscle glycogen, we'll go longer before we hit that wall. Okay. This is also where we started to come into fat burners loading up with caffeine and weight loss supplements loading up with caffeine. Okay, but as further studies started to come out, what we saw is that it didn't always happen that way. With lower doses of caffeine, there was no fat oxidation or no differences in fat oxidation, yet people still improved performance. Additionally, there would be some very, very high levels of caffeine intake, which would increase fat oxidation, but no performance benefit. And then lastly, we'd see some studies which were an hour or 30 minutes, right? And for a 30-minute race, we're not really worried about carbohydrate depletion or glycogen depletion. That shouldn't be a factor. And yet caffeine would still improve that performance. So we started to realize, okay, maybe it's not so much fat oxidation that's the role. Maybe it's something else. And so we talked about it earlier. So it's actually more central nervous system is what it is. So caffeine acts as an adenosine antagonist. Adenosine meaning it's a neuroreceptor. And that receptor tends to cause fatigue. It tends to make us sleepy, drowsy, tends to make us a little bit less active or feeling quite as energetic. And so caffeine blocks that and has the opposite effect. So now we feel more wakeful, we feel more vigilant, we tend to have more energy overall. Okay, so it's not so much fat oxidation, more on the central nervous system. So how much caffeine do you actually need? So how much do you need? How much is recommended? What I'll use is we use milligrams per kilogram. That's kind of our starting point. Now, this is also dependent on the sport. It's dependent on the individual, their tolerance. So there's a variety of things that play into this. But the weight of the individual is first and foremost to kind of dictate how much would be appropriate. So we use milligrams per kilogram. So if you're curious, you could divide your weight by 2.2 into kilograms, and that's how we start. I'll use 165-pound athlete. Okay, so they're 75 kilograms. Again, original studies. They wanted to hammer it home. Does caffeine work or not? So they'd use 6, 9, sometimes 10, 13, 15 milligrams per kilogram. Okay, so 6 to 9 milligrams per kilogram for a 165-pound athlete would be 450 to 675 milligrams. In terms of Red Bulls, that would be 6 to 8.5 Red Bulls. Okay, 6 to 8.5 Red Bulls. Sometimes they would use 13 to 15 milligrams per kilogram. Okay, think about that. They wanted to hammer it home. Does caffeine work or does it not? You use a lot and you find out pretty quickly, right? So then they progressed, all right? So we started, we know it works. We're gonna move down lower and lower. So now they use it as 3 milligrams per kilogram. Okay, that's a little bit more appropriate or at least a decent amount. So 3 milligrams per kilogram for a 165-pound athlete would be 225 milligrams. That equates to about 3 Red Bulls or so, okay? Or that's about 12 ounces of coffee from Starbucks. Okay, when you put it in that terms, that doesn't sound quite so bad. The original one I mentioned would probably be about 2 venti cups of coffee from Starbucks. That's a heck of a lot of coffee. Okay, then they found out that it's actually even less. So when athletes, what they realized is endurance athletes, triathletes, marathon runners love to use Coca-Cola, flattened Coke, late in races. So what they'd see is late in races, these athletes would drink Coke and they'd report some sort of performance benefit. So they did the research and found that when you're fatigued, when you're glycogen depleted, so late in the game, late in a race, you can use significantly less caffeine. So now 1.5 milligrams per kilogram, and you can have a positive response from that. Okay, so now that's 1 Red Bull, or that's an accumulation of a couple of gels. So remember I mentioned caffeine has a half-life of 3 to 5 hours. So an athlete, an endurance athlete, might take in a gel or a sports drink that has 50 milligrams of caffeine, and they do that once or twice an hour. Now they have the same response. Right, so it doesn't have to be Red Bull, I just use that analogy. Right, so it is possible to take in a small dose and provide a performance benefit. So if you're curious which things provide caffeine and how much, a good website for that is Caffeine Informer. You can actually search any caffeine product or a lot of them and they will pull up how much caffeine is in there and they will even generate different types of products in that same subsubject. So that's a good place to look or start off if you're curious how much caffeine is in certain products. Okay, what about kids? Most of us are gonna be high school athletic trainers, so what about kids? 12 and under don't really need caffeine. We recommend no caffeine at all. If they take in trivial amounts, such as like things from chocolate, or they happen to have a sip of their parents' soda or something like that, not a big deal. But ultimately, we're not really recommending caffeine for 12 and under. For those who are 13 to 18 years old, okay, the recommendation is actually 100 milligrams or less per day. And that image up there is from Caffeine Informer, and it goes to show you kind of what is 100 milligrams of caffeine. So just over one Red Bull, half of a 5-hour energy or a little bit less of that, half of a Monster, a couple of sodas. Okay, a lot of our high school kids aren't drinking half of a Monster or a quarter of a Monster. They're drinking two Monsters or one and a half, three, whatever it may be. Right, so the recommendations for teenagers is actually significantly less. Right, so let's talk about, what about alternative strategies? So an interesting strategy. In the last few years, they've developed the strategy of carbohydrate mouth rinsing, meaning that people will swish around a carbohydrate-based beverage, such as a sports drink, in their mouth, and there are transmitter or taste receptors in their mouth that give the sensation of them actually consuming carbohydrates without actually drinking it. Okay, they're just swishing it around in their mouth. And they would see a performance benefit for because of that. And so then they developed the idea of, what if we just took in a caffeine mouth rinse? Okay, and a group recently, a few years ago, actually produced a positive response to that in sprint cycling. Okay, now a second group did the same study or a similar study and wound up producing no response. So it's something that I think we do need more research on it to find it, but that would be an interesting area. Could we perhaps get to the point where athletes could come into the locker room at halftime, swish around a little bit of a caffeine beverage without having to actually drink it, 5-10 seconds in their mouth, and they get a response? Okay, so that's an interesting area that we need more research on. We know it works for carbohydrates. We're still waiting to find out more information on caffeine itself. Okay, what about beverages? So what things provide caffeine and how much? This is a really good image from Asker Jukendrup, who's a researcher in endurance athletes. He has a website called My Sports Science. This is a very helpful image that just kind of gives you a general idea. So sodas are actually regulated on how much caffeine they can provide. So they're less than 70 milligrams per kilo, or 70 milligrams total. So they're about 30, 40 milligrams or so. Versus the Rockstar 2x energy is about 250 milligrams. 5-hour energy is 200, so on and so forth. So you can get a general idea. If your teenage athlete is limited to 100 milligrams per day, is the recommendation, look at all those things which are over 100 milligrams, right? And how much of those are they actually consuming? When do they actually consume it? So we talked about this earlier a little bit. 1 hour is before. So if we're going to consume it for performance, 1 hour before is generally what we'll do. However, there are new ideas coming out. Can we wait until later on in exercise? Rather than taking in any caffeine before, would it be more appropriate to take it in late and then you take in much less of it? That's a potential way. There's also the idea of potentially taking it in a little bit before and some later on in exercise. So there's not really one specific way to do it. If you're going to consume before, then you would do a little bit more caffeine, and you would do it an hour before. If you're gonna consume caffeine during exercise, it would be late in exercise and it'd be a smaller dose. So now we're gonna break it down into just different types of sports. So originally where most of the research is caffeine and endurance athletes. And what they would do is see if we go at a certain power or certain pace, so 80% VO2 max is the example I gave up here, how long can you go before you're exhausted, before you can't go any further? Okay, and they would see that caffeine supplementation would improve the duration. So 96 minutes versus 75 minutes in the placebo group. Then they decided, okay, well, how many sports do you actually just go until you can't go any further? Okay, that's not really a sport. That's not really practical. So what if we use time trial performance, which is where you go for a certain distance as fast as you can and see how you perform. And that's where they showed performance improvements with that. So with a smaller dose, 3 milligrams per kilogram, they showed 5.2% improvement in time trial performance in cycling. Okay. We also see decreased perception of effort. So it means that when you're feeling fatigued, when you're feeling tired, when you're feeling like you're working really hard, it takes a little bit less or feels not quite as exhausting when you're taking in some caffeine. What about caffeine in team sports? This is a little bit more difficult to follow along with. The problem with caffeine or team sports studies is that how do you really replicate two different games? No one game is going to be exactly the same, so we don't always know, right? But they do the best they can to try and simulate games. Sometimes they'll do it on the bike. Sometimes they'll do it on the field. They'll do a variety of different things. We've done studies in rugby. We've done studies in soccer. More of these studies are typically done in Europe, so they do it in more European-based sports as opposed to what we do here. So not a lot of American football studies in caffeine. Okay, but what we've seen is that passing accuracy can improve. Okay, the amount of distance covered in a game tends to improve when caffeine is supplemented. Okay, we've seen passing and shooting accuracy improve in soccer, okay, especially in a fatigued state. We've seen jumping ability. We've seen more powerful spiking in volleyball as well. Okay, so we have seen in sports performance or in team sports activities that we do see some form of improvement. I definitely think there is a case for caffeine before sports. But I think it's going to be more related to sports where fatigue comes into play, so longer duration sports as opposed to really, really brief activities. Things like where we're covering a lot of ground, such as soccer, rugby, are going to be more I think effective overall. But ultimately, we do see some performance benefits with caffeine before team sports performance. Hey, what about resistance training? So there's not a day that I go to the gym where I don't see pre-workout beverages, right? Pre-workout drinks, Monsters. The other day I saw a guy drinking a glass mug of coffee on the bench press in between each set. See it all the time. It's always there. Okay. Actually, what's interesting is that most of the research is pretty equivocal. So we see some studies that show benefits, and we see a number of studies that show no benefits. Perhaps the bros and their pre-workout drinks are onto something, because more of the studies that show benefits are actually on bench press and not squats. Okay, so that's a little interesting tidbit. So we tend to see that it's not all that helpful, especially not on one rep max. Okay, more so it's going to be helpful on muscular endurance, if at all. And then it's typically more helpful for upper body exercise as opposed to lower body exercise. And I'm not sure why that is, and they don't know why that is. Side effects. What are the potential concerns? For a normal, healthy adult, okay, up to 9 milligrams per kilogram is considered safe and okay. Now, again, everyone has their own tolerances and what's appropriate for them, but that seems to be okay and shouldn't present any significant health risks. They've done studies, like I said earlier, where 13 to 15 milligrams per kilogram raised blood levels of caffeine, but nowhere near to the extent of what's considered lethal. Not saying that I would recommend taking in that amount of caffeine, just saying they have shown that it can be done and is okay. Okay. Excessive doses can lead to issues such as high heart rate, high blood pressure. It can lead to hyperkalemia, respiratory alkalosis, hallucinations, coma, vomiting, nausea, etc. Okay, so this is where the concern for caffeine powder comes into play. Caffeine powder is very, very hard to measure, and we've seen deaths in youth athletes. One, their caffeine levels and what they need are significantly less, but the ability to actually measure it out is very, very difficult to do. And so we see overdoses in that. Okay, in more moderate to high doses, so 6 to 9 milligrams per kilogram, we will see things such as higher blood pressure. We will see anxiety, jitters, GI upset. Okay, we will see insomnia. Oftentimes, a lot of high school athletes are playing sports late at night, or athletes in general are playing sports in the evening. If this is impacting your sleep, is that really helping you all that well? Are you able to recover quite as effectively as you need to? Okay, if your stomach is upset, if you're nauseated, if you're shaking when you're playing a sport, is that really going to help you very much? Most likely, no. Again, it is very much dependent on the individual. If I took anywhere near that amount of caffeine, I would be shaking like crazy. So it just depends on you and your tolerance level and the athlete's tolerance level. Okay, what about hydration? This is a common one I'll hear. Caffeine causes dehydration. Caffeine is a diuretic. These are three different review articles on that subject. Quotes, doses of caffeine equivalent to the amount of normally found in standard servings of tea, coffee, and carbonated soft drinks appear to have no diuretic action. A later study, there's no evidence to suggest that moderate caffeine intake, less than 456 milligrams, induces chronic dehydration or negatively affects exercise performance, temperature regulation, or circulatory strain. Caffeine ingestion did not lead to excessive fluid loss in healthy adults, and the diuretic effect does not exist with exercise. So, caffeine should not really cause dehydration, should not cause diuretic effects. If someone is not exercising and they are taking a very, very high dose of caffeine, perhaps then we might see increased urine production. Otherwise, if someone's exercising, it's a moderate to low dose or what we would consider recommended or appropriate levels. Should not cause dehydration, should not cause them to overheat, sweat more than any other athlete, anything like that. Energy drinks. Energy drinks are a tough one. One, they do not fall under the same category as sodas. So sodas are limited as to how much caffeine they can provide. Energy drinks are not. They fall under the subject of or the category of a supplement, right? So they can have significantly higher amounts. They can have very generic, misleading terms at times. As long as it's nothing too specific, they can use the same kind of rules that apply to supplements, which are not very much. Okay, they can contain higher amounts, but they also contain other stimulants, so such as guarana and green tea. They're often, while we mentioned earlier, so youth athletes shouldn't be consuming any more than 100 milligrams, yet they are often recommended or marketed toward high school and youth athletes. So that's a concern. They're very persistent in how they market. I was asked a few years ago to write an article. They just wanted me to write a general article on nutrition for athletes. And I was being asked by several different companies, including an energy drink company. And all they asked me was just make sure you touch on caffeine. That's all we're asking. Okay, so I wrote it, touched on caffeine, and they said, well, we want you to write a little bit more positive about caffeine. Okay, Right, so I changed a little bit, and they were okay with that. And then they said, all right, well, we really want you to touch on B12, because that's really important. So I'm not going to touch on B12. Okay, so then they kept asking and asking and asking. So finally, in order to get them to stop, we talked about B12, very, very important. Right? B12 is important because it helps with energy production. However, I went and showed them the numbers of B12 deficient individuals in the United States, which is about 1% of the population, and said, they do not need your drink in order to increase their B12 intake. They will be just fine. Only people who are B12 deficient most of the time are going to be vegans or elderly adults, neither of which are probably cramming down energy drinks, right? But nonetheless, persistent on how they were marketing. I have to make sure I tailor it to what they wanted, when originally all I had to do was just touch on caffeine, right? So they really want to market and they really push their product. So we have to be cautious. They are marketing to our kids, our teenagers, and they don't need quite that amount of caffeine. Okay, now it is still appropriate to be fair. And when I started writing that article, I definitely had to kind of review some of the information and material. So there are a lot of studies on energy drinks. Okay, and we have shown they are actually beneficial in terms of performance. So this was an article from the International Society of Sports Nutrition. So their position stand on energy drinks. And they said consuming energy drinks 10 to 60 minutes before exercise can improve mental focus, alertness, anaerobic performance, and or endurance performance. Some of those studies that I mentioned on team sports activities were actually using energy drinks. Okay, so can they promote or can they potentially improve sports performance? Yes. Okay, they can. Okay, do we need high school athletes consuming them? No. Oftentimes they're exceeding the amount that we would recommend for high school athletes. Okay, and they have other things involved in those energy drinks, oftentimes excessive amounts of sugar, etc. Okay, so they can be okay for the most part. We do have enough, they've been around long enough, we've seen enough people drinking them, there's been very small amounts of health-related issues for them, okay? Oftentimes the health issues do tend to pertain to those who have some sort of condition before that we didn't know about, okay? But nonetheless, it's not something I tend to recommend. I think it's still too new. I just don't feel all that comfortable with it, so I'm not going to sit there and try and promote it. But I do think we have to be aware of it in terms of sports performance. Okay, practical implications. So caffeine in small amounts or moderate doses of 3 mg/kg or what would equate to about 1.5 to 2 cups of coffee for most individuals can enhance sports performance, especially when consumed 60 minutes prior to exercise. Smaller doses of 1.5 mg/kg can improve performance when consumed late in exercise or when fatigued. Okay, caffeine mouth rinses are a new and upcoming potential area that needs more research but could potentially help sports performance. Children and adolescents should be focusing on general nutrition and diet as opposed to supplementing with caffeine. Okay, now you have some of the ins and outs on caffeine and why or how it can be effective, how it can be harmful, right? But ultimately, we still don't want our youth athletes to be consuming them, but it is helpful for you to be aware of all the ins and outs of caffeine. For adults, caffeine can be used for sports performance, but it's something that should be tried out and tested beforehand. You don't want to have that for the first day, you're having 2 cups of coffee right before a race. That's going to go pretty poorly. Okay, usually you want to test that out a couple times in practice. Okay, in summary, small to moderate doses of caffeine in various forms can improve performance in endurance sports, team sports, and potentially strength training. While side effects can occur, they are more common at doses which exceed the levels necessary for performance improvement. Okay, so that is my email address, and that is my Twitter handle, which I already promoted earlier. Please follow me. And if you're interested, like I said, Google search my Twitter handle. There are all sorts of articles on different areas that we just talked about. So if you want to go and dig deeper into that, that would be great, and you're welcome to do that.